episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is brought to you by HiSmile. HiSmileTeeth.com. I can go ahead and read some copy that I've been provided, but I'm going to give you my honest 100% feelings on this product. It is amazing, y'all.
Just be honest.
If they weren't, I'm being totally honest, you guys. Even if they weren't my sponsor, like, I can tell you right now that this new and improved formula, gel formula called PAP, that they are using is a must, everyone, in your wedding day prep.
So easy. We are so stoked that there are our sponsors for this episode and right now because we get to try this kit and we're both very happy customers. We were looking for something that could whiten and brighten without any pain or causing, like, you know, that weird gum sensitivity. And this is the perfect solution. The HiSmile, high like hi, H-I, smile teeth whitening kit is a must. So head over to HiSmileTeeth.com and you will get 20% off your entire order using the discount code BIGWEDDING.
And make sure it's hi as in hello, hi, HiSmileTeeth.com, promo code BIGWEDDING, 20% off. You're going to put that thing in your mouth. It's going to be glowing. 10 minutes. Just
for
a few days.
That's it.
6 days. Yeah, 6 days. That kit is 6 days. And then I also have that toothpaste, which I'm super stoked about.
Some activated charcoal in there.
I mean, I am bright white already, okay? I cannot wait to finish this treatment. Thank you so much, HiSmile.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that way.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews. Michelle Martinez, my lovely co-host, is not recording with me today, but I do have an expert on. I will be interviewing someone. I won't just be talking about myself and my life for the next hour that I will save for therapy. And I'm super excited about today's topic because lately we have gotten a ton of emails and messages on the Facebook community group and even a couple Patreon messages about rentals, specifically wedding rentals, what you need that the venue maybe doesn't provide. So that's what we're talking about today. And we have done two episodes about rentals before in different scopes. Also, 2 years ago, in 2017, we did one with Rent My Wedding, which is online, and then DIY. You get, say, the lights in the mail, and then you set them up yourself. So very different than what we'll be talking about today. And then also episode 35, one of our first episodes in the first year, was about rentals. And that was really digging into the logistics of an installation with an expert that Michelle actually works with out in California very often to this day. So talking about big rental installations, dimensions, delivery, setup, strike, and all those logistics that go with a wedding day when you have a lot of rentals coming in. So today's episode about wedding day rentals will target sort of how rentals fits into the bigger picture with all of the other wedding planning that you're doing. Sort of like asking the question, what do you need and when do you need it? When should you be thinking about it? What questions should you ask? So without further ado, I will introduce our guest. She's out of South Florida. Her name is Heather Ruffet.
She is the director of sales and a partner of Atlas Event Rental, a full-service event rental company serving the Southern Florida market for over 30 years. Atlas has locations in Miami, Palm Beach, and Martin County, and was recently named one of the top 30 rental companies in the U.S. by Special Events Magazine. And Heather, you've been there for 15 years.
I have.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So the wedding industry, I don't know if listeners would know this from planning their wedding, but there's very high turnover in positions that are under a company umbrella. I'm trying to say this carefully because there's not necessarily high turnover. It's an inundated market with photographers and florists and wedding planners, but specifically with rentals and I think hotels and like venue managers. It could be that I could work with the same company for 5 years and work with five different sales managers. So that's why I said 15 years is a big deal to be at one company.
It is. And it's funny when I tell people I've been doing this for 15 years, you get the same reaction because yes, it's high turnover, you know, a lot of changing faces. And that of course drives me crazy and it's never good for relationships and continuity with the clients. But yeah, we're lucky enough that we have a really great staff and I've been lucky enough to love what I do and having the right company, you know, behind us and with the same goals and passion. Which is a whole nother podcast in and of itself of how to keep good people. But yeah, this will tie in nice of just allowing clients to build relationships with their rental company and how to do that and how to find the right salesperson to meet their needs, even if the person is new or the person, you know, has been there for a year or 2 years, just learning what the right match and who their best fit to work with is so they have the best experience.
And off the top, it is common, just so that we're clear, it is common for you to work directly with people planning their weddings without a middleman or wedding planner or coordinator. It's not like out of bounds.
No, 100%. The great thing is every day I get to work with the couple themselves, the couple's parents, the person who's paying for the wedding, not only the planner and the caterer. We work with the direct client on a daily basis. That's okay. Kind of probably how we built our business over 35 years ago is working with those, you know, the end user and the retail client. And as much as we've grown and the size we are, there's a lot of companies that have gotten away from that. But we've always felt that it's super important to hold on to those bread and butter clients. And we want people to know us. We want people to build relationships, keep coming back. So yes, we work with the end couple all the time.
Yeah, I think that's important to mention since sometimes when you speak about rentals, even when I speak to my own clients about rentals, it's sometimes assumed that it's like, oh, we're not that kind of client. We're not that kind of couple. We're not going to need rentals. We don't need a tent. We're not doing a lounge. We don't have it in the budget. But then as things sift down in planning, you know, maybe a different colored napkin than what the venue offers or something that could be considered small or extra, you know, like it's an it's a cherry on top. It's not an absolute necessity, but it sifts down to where couples that originally might have thought, we don't even need you to look into rentals at all. We're not going to need anything. Turns out they do need something. And then, but you know, maybe if it's a little late in the planning, then we're scrambling for who has the inventory, if it's a popular weekend, blah, blah, blah. So it is something that I think people can think about early on, or just like open a part of your mind to that it's not just for couples who are doing a giant tented subfloor, put something over the pool sort of wedding.
Yeah, not at all. Like I said, I think rentals is always kind of like the forgotten child and comes in at the end, or people assume that the decor company has rentals or your caterer has it. But the reality is everyone, we're just, you know, kind of a big part of the web. And my job is to get the word out of how important rentals are and the importance of building a relationship with your local rental company and how much added value we have towards your overall budget and not only your wedding, but being a part of the showers and the events before and after, you know, your home parties. There's huge value in having a relationship with your local event rental company. So again, so excited to be here and be speaking of this because you really never hear from the rental companies. A lot of times we're kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, the silent partner.
People forget about us.
You don't sound like you're originally from South Florida. Is that right? Am I hearing
the New York Long Island accent? Yes. And even though I've been in Florida for over 20 years, I guess just because of how often I visit and my best friends that I speak to every single day, I'll always hold on to my New York accent.
Does it get stronger when you get mad or a little tipsy?
You know, it's so funny. I don't hear it, but definitely, and you're the second person this week, someone I met yesterday in the showroom is like, where are you from? You must be from Long Island. I have a cousin from here. So I don't know. I just think, I don't know. I guess it's just the New York in me will never go away, which is great. I'm a New Yorker, you know, by blood. It's weird that my kids are Floridians. It's very weird to say that. So, but yes, I will always hold on to that, that New York, you know, the New York attitude and the New York upbringing.
You know, when I speak to New York vendors and I, for a wedding I did in, I want to say, South Carolina, the transportation company was actually based in New York, but they had like subcontracts in smaller markets for like a bus, basically like a charter bus. But I had to go through the New York office, which a lot of times I was just talking to a dispatcher, not like a sales manager who's like, oh, Christy, yes, hi. And it was so, I would get off the phone with him several times. It was never rude. He never interrupted me. But I would get off the phone and always sort of be like, what, like, what just happened? It felt like he spoke really fast. It was a flurry of like quick answers. It almost, I could almost hear his punctuation of like in the sentences. And then the phone call would be done and I will have had the information I needed, but I would feel like, wow, that was like, what just happened? It was a very different way of communicating than like vendors in Texas that, yes, you know, I had been working with for a while or whatever. I thought being a wedding planner in New York City must be just a different ball game.
Even it's so funny because we get, now that South Florida market has really grown, we get a lot of New York and LA. So it is, it's totally different when I'm working with a New York caterer and it's like, you need to read their lingo. I know the stuff that they want. And it's like, they'll start asking me for items and I'm like, you're a New York caterer. And they're like, how did you know? I'm like, I just know. I know what you guys rent. I know what you want. I know your rental list. So yeah, it's sometimes a nice change, especially when I go up there and visit and I kind of see the weddings or I'm outside of the plaza and see the big rental companies pull up.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I just want to see how they do this and see what goes on here.
It's like, it's a familiarity, but you're one, you know, giant step away from it now. Yep. In a whole nother market on the other side of the country.
Yeah. And my kids make fun of my accent all the time. They're like, mommy, that's not how you say orange. I'm like, yes, it is. That's how you say it. So
that is so funny. Well, I know there's a lot of transplants in Florida all over, right?
There is, yes.
So yes, probably can find a tribe down there of former New Yorkers, Long Islanders. Yes.
There's a lot of us down here. Lots and lots of us.
Okay, so on the outline, I put, tell us what basically a sales mm-hmm. manager does and what makes you like a good fit for that job. Specifically, if you're a couple calling in, who would we talk to?
Sure. So my role is to oversee my entire sales team. And that includes everyone from my inside sales girls, my outside sales team, my admins that support my sales teams, a few other administrative positions that will support the clients and the data processing of getting orders out to clients quickly. So my role, besides obviously matching up salespeople, it's, we have to be educated. We have to be educated for the couple. We have to know what the hot trends are, what's hot in what venues own. So if you come to us and say, I'm getting married at XYZ Hotel, we could jump in and say, you want to use those Ivory Dew Peony linens? No problem. They're beautiful. Let's now work a tabletop and charger around it. Mm-hmm. So we have to be super knowledgeable about venues, about styles. My role, one of the biggest roles that I take extremely seriously is making sure the couple is tied with the right salesperson. Because there are some salespeople that are more just sales driven, right? They're going to get that buck no matter what. There's other ones that are more laid back and they're not as pushy. There are some that are more artistic and more into the design process. And it's my job to make sure that the client is matched up with the right salesperson so they have a really great experience and really know that we are there besides them. We're not looking just to get in and take your money and make it a transaction. We want to be a part of your event. We get excited when we see that we're tagged on Instagram because you had the most beautiful day, that you send us the thank you cards after because the charger completed the look or the green goblet was just the vision that you had in your head. So running our sales team, making sure that the right people are in the right places. If you need a site visit, making sure that you have the appropriate person there who's going to be more logistic based. So it's really important juggling all of those pieces. So the bride and groom or the couple has just the best experience that they could possibly have with their rental company.
Right. From the logistics side and then also personality, like you're saying. So if a couple were to, let's say the hypothetical is they need some ceremony decor, like some altar columns or something to help define the space for an inside wedding. And they need linens, chargers, and some glassware that would supplement what the venue already has. So they call Atlas and say, we'd like to talk to somebody about a wedding that we're having next October. Would the phone call then go straight to a salesperson to be that person is kind of with them from initial, and that person puts together a proposal, sends it, and you immediately start like looking at numbers? Is that what
happened? So the nice part, so what you really have to do is reach out to your local rental company and see what tools they have. So many of your local rental companies will have a showroom. So I highly suggest you go in, you touch, you feel, you see. And it's important also to go in to see who they are, right? Because we could all build a beautiful website, but going in and speaking to the people, learning what your rental company is about, making the personalities and even values match of who you are is so important. Again, we're an integral vendor from beginning to end, and you're going to be speaking to me or one of my sales girls a lot. Every time you have a change, you want to add something, take off something, there's a change in budget.
20 more people got added.
We're going to be with you every step of the way. So you want to like us, right? You want to like the person that you're working with. You want to trust us. So visiting the showroom, going on the website, we have a tabletop builder. A lot of rental companies are starting to use that. So knowing what technological tools are out there, but start with your salesperson. We're going to speak with you. We're going to ask you questions. We're going to ask you, what is the colors? What is your vision? Is there a budget? What other tools? What other vendors are you using? What other pieces have you already, purchased? Is there a no matter what decor? Mm-hmm. Are you using a family heirloom? What is
Pinterest
it that we're
boards.
Building around?
Photos of the inside of the venue if you've never worked there as a company. I think the showroom, actually, we didn't even talk about that when we initially talked, but the showroom experience is huge, and it speaks to the human aspect of this transaction, because it's easy to just think rentals, I need 200 glasses. Yep. I want them to look like this. I can do it all online. I can do it all via email. But I'm still pretty old school in how I operate as a planner. Maybe that's because I'm just afraid of like a ton of technology, because I feel like I won't do it well. Therefore, it won't translate well in the communication with my clients. But I do often go to a rental company, a showroom with my clients.
Yeah,
and
great.
In that way, I'm introducing them. It's like, this is my contact, Heather. She's worked here for a really long time. And she pulled some purples and some pinks, what we thought might be good. But it's kind of like handing them over. It does matter that you, the person listening to this podcast is planning your wedding, you should feel welcomed and not rushed, and like the person's really listening to you and didn't just pull the usual stuff that they would pull for that venue. And I think it's important that the couple does more talking than the salesperson that they're working with in terms of the conversation.
And the salesperson is really, I'm there to just guide you. I want you to come in. I want you to have fun playing and see what a pink goblet versus a green versus a slate versus a clear cut crystal, whatever choice you're making, I want you to feel good about it. It's not my day. It's your day. Right. I'm just there to kind of guide you. Have you thought about this? Let me just show you what this looks like paired together. But you're going to tell me about your vision, your colors. You're going to come in and totally play. We have couples all the time, they're like, we're so sorry we made your showroom a mess. I'm like, no, that's why you're here. Bigger the mess, it means you really got into it. You really are getting into the vision of what your wedding day is going to look like. Because again, people forget, I always say your table is like an outfit. You want to make sure when you get dressed for a beautiful ball or a gala. You're not putting on a beautiful dress and then forgetting about the shoes or forgetting about the earrings, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you're using a venue's napkins or even if you're using a venue's linens, don't forget about things like the napkin ring or an upgraded flatware or, you know, a runner. There's so many different enhancements that we could do to really change the look and feel of your day to make it unique and special to you. And also the importance of going into a showroom is you want to make sure it's the right fit, right? You know, if you're going for a very rustic look and I'm a super modern company, well, I'm not the right fit. So maybe a website isn't up to par, or, you know, a sales team didn't spend much time on the phone with you and says, just come in. Well, go in. Even if you walk in and walk out, you're going to know if the products that the rental company carries meet your style and taste, no different mm-hmm. than a department store, right? But, you know, we all shop of where we kind of like the feel and the vibe, right? And a rental company is no different.
Yes, that is true. So it's how you're treated, how you're received, just like, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to go into buy a car and just feel like, oh my gosh, this person's going to like chase me out of here. But
yep.
A showroom is an opportunity to, a showroom typically would have, let's say, 100 linens. They're examples are going to be hanging there so that you can touch them and throw them onto tables. And one thing we haven't mentioned too is that the lighting in a showroom might help you in a well appointed showroom. The lighting also can help you visualize what that centerpiece or that glassware linen chair might look like inside of a ballroom. And that can help too, I think. I think sometimes it's hard to imagine things on a website all put together, and it's easier to just to lay it out and see it. And then that helps to explain to your partner or your mom who's with you, like, see, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, and yes. And as scary as technology is, I think sometimes for all of us, the nice part is whether you bring yourself and take pictures or FaceTime your bridesmaid, your, you know, maid of honor, your fiance, whoever's involved. That's what is the great thing about technology. You know what? You want to put them on a live Zoom call so they're kind of, they feel like they're there. There's really no reason that anyone shouldn't be a part of the process, that you want them, you know, anyone that you want to be there. We'll have showroom visits where it's one person, it'll be 10 people mm-hmm. that come in. The other great part is you want to work with a rental company that is going to allow other vendors to come in. A lot of times we will have the florist bring the sample centerpiece to the showroom mm-hmm. because, again, right, we do this every single day. So it's a little easier for us to say, oh no, this is going to look great in there. But a couple who's doing this for the very first time, it's overwhelming to know that one linen you're choosing, is this going to work with my centerpiece? Is this going to work in the room? Bring the centerpiece in, and it's my favorite part of the meeting when they see the whole thing come together. Mm-hmm. And the minute you change a linen, change a goblet, change the charger, when you have that centerpiece there, the whole look just comes to life and boom, you know, there's no doubt of what your wedding day is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. And some at times when I've done this, and just for those of you who might be thinking of doing a showroom visit prior to a florist visit or mock-up, sometimes it's helpful just to go to a grocery store on your way and grab a bunch of flowers. If you know you're going to have all white florals, for example, and then even if it's not perfect and you're just sticking them in a glass vase, it might help to coordinate the colors and the formality a little bit. That's something to remember, which we've talked about with like matching a tux that your partner might wear with suits that the groomsmen might wear. We talk about like, it's not so much that you have to match it exactly color or exact style, but the formality needs to be on the same level. So with showroom experiences, it's better to bring everything that you do have, even if it's some flowers that you picked up on the way and some candles that your mom had that you're pretty sure we're going to use those same type of candles on, you know, a bunch of tables. So we'll bring those just to see. It's just like a dressing room. You're trying stuff
on. Absolutely.
So moving to, let's say, post showroom visit,
mm-hmm.
Tell us how, because I think a lot of people don't know exactly, and it's a little bit confusing. And you touched on this at the beginning, which like the caterer has a bunch of rentals, but do they have everything? And then the venue, does your rental company typically work with other vendors as a part of a team? Or are there a couple Sure. scenarios that you could break down?
There are. So, you know, let's use just you're going to a venue. One of the first questions you want to ask is, what do you provide? But ask questions, go deep. So the venue says, we provide linens. Well, your next question should be, what color? Do they go to the floor? Do you have enough for 200 people, 150, depending on, you know, your guest count? Do you have napkins? What color is your china? What's going to be on my table when I come in? Because so many times the couple waits to the end and calls at us and goes, oh my goodness, I was at the tasting and they have the most hideous flatware. And they're like, what should we do? And we're like, well, that's going to be part of your table. If that's something you're comfortable with, use it. If you're not, here's your options. Well, I don't have it in my budget. So the more questions you could ask from the beginning, right. you want to do. Now, so many times a couple will come into our showroom and where they're asking these questions and they're not sure. Well, we'll call the venue for you and ask. If we're not sure, we'll call them. We'll call your caterer. Again, we're there just as, you know, another step of the way holding your hand. So we want to help you out so you're not making multiple trips. So ask all of those questions. A lot of times your full service caterer, same thing. They might own some items such as serving trays and ovens and hot boxes and some water pitchers. And if you're getting married at a venue offsite that has no kitchen, where a caterer has to come in and build a kitchen and literally build your table from start to finish, we're going to be a hefty part of your budget. Mm-hmm. So asking those questions from the beginning is super important. So you know, what does that include? We work with some caterers that have three different packages. We have some that just say your rentals are going to average from this per person to this. So you really want to make sure at that time, ask questions. Well, what does that include? Is that the basic? Is that the high end? Am I going to be able to come in and choose my rentals? Do you choose them for me? Do we go to the rental company together? We are an open book. We really, whether the bride and groom or the couple rents from us or the caterer or the venue, it doesn't matter to us. We are there as part of the web. So we just, you know, whether you come in alone, whether we deliver the samples to your venue, whether you see the different assortment of china at your tasting, again, for us, it doesn't matter. And you want to work with a rental company that has that same mentality. The last thing you want is another headache when you're planning a wedding. So ask these questions to your rental company. Ask, when am I going to choose the product? I'm getting married at XYZ venue and they don't have rental products. Can you bring the products there? Can I bring them there? Will a salesperson meet me there? We say yes to every situation mm-hmm. because we believe it's whatever works best for the client. But you want to ask all of these questions to all of your vendors, not just your rental company, because there are some caterers that might say, I only work with XYZ company.
Right.
Well, do those items fit with your selection? What happens if you found product at another company? Why do they only work with that company? Maybe the products that you found are at a company that has awful service and awful quality. Website might be pretty, but they're looking out for you. And they should be honest of saying, this is why we work with XYZ company. So ask questions, as many as you would ask your florist and your DJ and your photographer, ask your rental company. And I think because so many people just aren't used to going into the rental company, this is where I, you know, I'm so excited to educate and speak and put light on the rental company, because we are fun. We are hip. We're not just a warehouse where you walk in and there's tables and chairs. Most of the showrooms are beautiful and pretty. And it's, again, another really amazing experience that you could have as part of the wedding journey.
So when you're working in that, potential way of working where it is the catering company, and I'm asking because we get a lot of questions about people planning weddings like at my parents' estate or my grandpa's farm or in our backyard. So it's, let's assume it's the kind of venue that is not, doesn't include anything, but they've hired a caterer, which is often the case, that says, oh, we'll take care of the rentals, meaning we will subcontract. So shine a little bit of light on how that works, because I've seen proposals from caterers that have food prices, 175 canopies, 175 blah, blah, blah. And then it has staffing prices. You need 2 bartenders. You need 3 bar backs. You need 2 chefs, 5 front of house. They're all line itemed out. And the last thing is usually rentals. All the rentals yep. needed. And it might be like ovens and extra tables and butcher blocks and the things that they literally need in the back to cook the food and prep it. But I always wonder, even me as a planner, I wonder like, is that their stuff? Because it's on their proposal as if it's one company. But I know from doing right. this long enough, typically they've subcontracted out with their preferred rental company.
They do. So here's what I tell people. It's kind of like, you know, we don't do tents and we say we stick with what we're good at. You know, the caterers are good at food. And remember, you know, they only have X amount of space and they invest in commissaries and kitchens and all their stuff. So we work with some caterers that own a minimal amount of stuff and others, you know, that really own nothing. So normally what I found is when you see a line item for rentals, those are all of the items that they do not own and have to turn around to rent to make sure that they're properly equipped for your wedding, you know, whether that's things that you don't even think of. And this is why, you know, being educated and asking the questions, you know, say, what does this include? Because usually it is just a flat line item, whether it's 1,000 to 20,000, say to them, what does this include? And when they start saying salt and pepper sets and water pitchers and coffee makers and cream and sugar sets, our first reaction is, don't you own those? But no, they don't own them. Imagine sometimes they have 10 to 30 parties in a week and they can't project everything that they're going to need. So they have their bread and butter and their, you know, everyday essentials. But after that, they rely on rental companies like ourselves to provide all of the rentals for your wedding. So ask the questions. In that budget that you're giving me, in the total, does that include upgraded linens? Will this number fluctuate? Will I be able to go to the rental company with you? Do you bring me choices? Who do you use? You have that right. You're paying for it. Even though they're paying the rental companies, they're being built, you're just paying the caterer. So you are paying for the rentals and you have every right to know where it's going to come from and who you're using. But yes, caterers do rely heavy on rental companies. They're probably our largest clients of items that they need. I mean, and everything down to trash cans for the bar and all your barware glasses. Right. It's amazing the orchestration.
Coolers for ice.
Coolers. I mean, like I said, cream and sugar sets, coffee makers, then the coffee servers and water pitchers. And maybe you're doing beverage dispensers for your greeting drink. You know, they can own all of these items, right? Like, just like they can predict what taste every client's going to have. So they might own a few dozen silver round trays, but you're a more modern client and you want acrylic black trays. So they would turn around to a company like us. So yes, they're not, you know, they're not looking to double charge you. They're not looking to make money off their stuff, but they're truly just passing along a cost that comes necessary with producing the proper event for your venue.
So if you ask some questions and you find out, yes, in fact, the majority of these rentals that are on their proposal are coming from one or maybe 2 mm-hmm. outside rental companies. Does that mean that the caterer then is essentially the apex of that deal to where the caterer will be the one that arranges what time can they drop it off? And the caterer yep. manager will be the one that says, I'll meet you at that outside gate and let you in, or I'll show you the garage where we're going to be setting up the kitchen. So does yep. it sort of make the client it takes a little bit off the client in that way. They still need to be vigilant about the choices, but it takes a little bit that they don't have to do it all themselves.
It does. It takes a lot off. So when there's an opportunity and you trust a vendor and you don't want to deal with the rentals and your caterer is willing to do it, or your florist is willing to do it, or your wedding planner is a client, absolutely let them be the one to call in every time there's a change. Mm-hmm. Remember, you don't want to be on your honeymoon and the rental company's calling you to say, we're missing 20 plates and 10 forks and 10 napkins.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good hint, yes.
So leave that to the caterer and as much as you could do. And that's why it's nice asking your rental company, can my caterer come direct or do I need to do it? And knowing kind of what's the norm in your local area is super important, because for us, again, it could be the caterer, it could be you. And there are some caterers that will say, we have to be the ones to rent it. And when they're saying that, it's okay. Don't think they're doing it to make money off of you. Don't think that they're looking to do extreme markups. I can assure you that their 10 to 20% markup is so worth it. Mm-hmm. Remember, they're the ones who are organizing it. They're the ones placing the order. They're the ones going over with the menu with the chef. They're the ones receiving it. They're the ones packing it all up.
Signing they're making for sure. it.
They're the ones signing for it. They're the ones taking responsibility. So there's a price that comes with that. You know, maybe you're not local. Maybe your salesperson mm-hmm. at the catering company came in and took a whole bunch of place setting pictures for you, and they're really putting in a lot of the work. So the markup that they put on rentals, believe it or not, is so minimal in the grand scheme of what goes into orchestrating rentals, from the truck meeting them there and the logistics. And I can't even tell you all of the hiccups there are behind the scenes. An elevator doesn't work. Another vendor showed up late. The tent's not up yet. And where are we going to put them?
Something got stained.
Yep, they're really the forefront of receiving it. They will call us at 3-4 o'clock if an oven's not working, if a linen is stained. They will take care of all of those things that you'll never know about to make sure that your event is perfectly executed.
Yeah, I think that's very valuable. There is a markup. It is not secret. It is not commission. They're not getting like $700 every time they refer a client to the rental company. It's a markup on the line items, and it's legitimate. I mean, I think even from a plant, I would advise my clients, if the catering company is confident that they can pull all of these rentals together and they've done it before, then go with them. It makes your life easier. It makes my life easier. And if we need other rentals on top of that, like something extra special, that can be a much smaller arrangement. Like I might myself pick up velvet napkins from a company an hour outside of town, if that's what you want, and I'll count them at the end of the night. But I can't count 1,000 forks at the end of the night as your wedding planner when I'm also doing a million other things. So the markup is minimal, and the reason it can be minimal is because they're professionals who have templates that they plug these numbers into, so they can do it faster than you can sitting at home with your partner trying to figure out, if we're going to serve beer and wine and champagne, how many beer steins do we need versus how many champagne? If we're only going to do champagne for the toast, then we should only need 200, right? There's 200 people. Somebody else has already come up with all the answers to these questions. So don't worry yourself so much about quantities, I think, with rentals from a catering side, when we're not talking about like rentals in this small conversation that elevate everything and beautify your wedding. We're talking about things you actually need in your hand in order to eat the meal that's in front of you. That's something the catering company can definitely take care of. And a lot of the other rentals are more fun and sexier and more design oriented.
And then I think the other like really important thing when you're working with a caterer, chances are is that caterer is probably a pretty solid and regular client of the rental company, and they have buying power, right? So let's say you are the client and, you know, they send us the proposal for your wedding and it comes in $500 over budget. Because they're such good clients and regular clients, they could come to us to say, oh, I hate for my bride or my groom not to have that pink goblet that they really wanted. I'd love for them to have that, you know, rope flat where that was like their one non-negotiable, what can you do? And because they're such a regular client, we're always apt to say, no problem. Well, you know, we'd love for your client to have that. We don't want them to risk not having their dream tablescape. So they do have a lot of buying power. So again, even though it might seem like, well, I'm going to get a better deal going direct, it usually doesn't work that way, because these, you know, corporate clients that do so much regular business, they usually get pretty much what they want, whether it's an extra discount off their rental or an upgrade. We will work with them in any way we can. So use them to your advantage, and don't just look at them as, oh, they're making money off of us and I could spend that $1,000 somewhere else. They really have a lot of buying power.
That's a really good point too. We talk about that with hiring planners. Sometimes hiring a planner isn't in somebody's budget, but when it's explained in a way that says, if you hire a planner first, that planner in turn is generally or usually, if they're doing their job well, able to save you lots of money down the line through personal relationships and past experience of working together with people, and also through troubleshooting before you even know there's a problem. You've hired a planner, so thank goodness you didn't even think about lighting the pathway to the restrooms. And because your planner was on top of that, that extra $1,000 expense didn't hit you at the end. It was thought about well in advance. So that everything has a price.
Yes, everything has a price.
So in thinking about the timeline, since I did bring that up in the intro, and I'm talking about timeline, like wedding planning timeline, let's say most people let's put it at 9 months. So they're engaged, and the wedding's going to be in 9-10 months from engagement. You mentioned that rentals are often thought about last or kind of peripheral with a venue or catering. But what, in your opinion, do couples need to think about at the beginning? And then in turn, what are some things that, like, it's generally okay if you leave that decision for later or till the, you know, quote, end of the planning process when you're working?
Yeah, so I think in the beginning, one of just the biggest overall factors is once you choose your venue, just know what rentals do I have to bring in, right? So if you're going to your, you know, family member's estate or a backyard barbecue or a museum that you're going to really need to bring in all of your rentals, well, you want to gather that generic budget from the get-go, because that's going to be a big number. Your tables, your chairs, your china, I mean, all your flatware, your back of house stuff, the stuff for the caterer needs, that's going to be a really big number. If you're having a wedding at a venue where you might just need 10 linens and napkins, I wouldn't say that you have to rush into the rental company right away, right? Because you don't know your style yet. You haven't met with your florist. You haven't really, you know, mapped out your colors or put your whole vision together. But knowing just what items you are going to rent, call your rental company just to get a range. So you know that I'm going to need 10 linens that can range from $35 to $55 and 100 napkins that are going to range from $1 to $2, and that's all I need. At least now you have it in your budget, because so many times, again, you wait till the end and you really wanted that overlay or those pink napkins, but it just doesn't fit anywhere. And then you have to sacrifice with such an important factor of, you know, that first look of the room that your guests see. So just in the beginning, don't forget to just put together as part of your budget your rentals. And even if you don't go to the rental company, again, ask your decor company, ask your planner, or ask your caterer, what will rentals cost me? After that, a few months down the line, when you know exactly what you need, when you know your colors, when you have a better vision, when you know exactly what the chairs look like, then come in and make your appointment, and we could start designing and choosing all of your items. But in the beginning, get that overall budget, so there's no surprises, and down the road you don't have to be disappointed that you can't have something that you wanted.
Yeah, so it's not a faux pas, or it's not inappropriate in any way to kind of go on a fishing expedition with a phone call.
Absolutely.
It might take 5 minutes of a salesperson's time to just send over some pricing, and then you might not hear from that couple. No. You as a salesperson might not hear from them for 3 months. That's okay with you?
That is totally okay. I will send you our price guide. I will give you a range. And then, in fact, I want to send you my information and just open up that dialogue. And that's where the customer service comes in and says, hey, I'm getting married here, and I probably won't be calling you for 3 months, but I want to start the process. I know I'm going to need linens. I know I'm going to need napkins. At that point, I'll send you my price guide. I'll say, do you want to be added to our mailing list? Check out our social media pages, you know, to keep on top of some of the trends and some of the new products. Maybe I'll ask you, is there any type of vision or feel, and just start sending you pictures just so you can kind of see what's out there. And then I'll probably just touch base with you every month or every 6 weeks just to, hi, just can I answer any questions? I'm here whenever you're ready. But yes, reach out, fish, ask questions. What do they have? Get a price guide. And listen, even if you go in and you don't know what you want, that's okay too. Don't feel like you're wasting our time, because we look at it as like an interview. You know, we're glad that you came in. We're glad that you saw what we had. Maybe I wasn't the right salesperson. Maybe it gives you an opportunity to say, is there someone else who is familiar with this venue? Is there someone else who has a more modern feel? Is there someone else who handles a more traditional vibe a little bit better. So also use that as an interview process to find, you know, the right salesperson.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing is, and this would be true for any market, no matter where you're listening, it's probably safe to say that within 2 hours of most places that you would host a wedding, there's a rental company that is going to be able to meet most, if not all, of your needs. So what I'm hearing is it's okay for couples to be more involved and directive in this process, from reviewing the proposal your caterer sends you, to calling the rental company personally yourself, and to figuring things out as you go. That's okay. I think sometimes people don't want to call or make touch base or make a connection if they're still in that process of like, we really have no idea. You almost feel guilty, like you might never hear from me again because my fiance is still not on board with us getting the farm tables that I wanted, but I just wanted to know the price so we could start the conversation. And if he vetoes it, thank you for your time, but that's going to be it. That's okay.
That's 100% okay. Don't ever feel like you're wasting anyone's time, because you know what? And maybe you ended up going to a rental company that just has vintage stuff and I wasn't the right match. That's okay. And I'm glad I was able to make that connection, because maybe we hit it off. Maybe we really liked each other. And you know what? Maybe a year down the road, you have another party and now I'm a part of that event. So mm-hmm. any opportunity that we could speak with you, we are very grateful and appreciative. So don't ever feel like you're wasting anyone's time, energy. And yeah, it's all get to know us. So many times people think, oh, it's just this big open warehouse space with tables and chairs stacked. And no, come on in. We all have beautiful design centers, and not only for rentals. You know, my favorite clients are the ones that call and say, I don't even know where to start. Can you recommend a florist? Can you recommend a DJ? Can you recommend a planner? And you know what? Maybe they never got rentals from me, but they sent me a thank you letter because they had the most amazing wedding planner. Mm-hmm. Because we've been doing this for so long, we have such a wealth of knowledge, and these other vendors are our clients, and it's an honor and a pleasure that we could recommend someone that they ended up using. So no, don't ever feel like you're wasting anyone's time when you're in your wedding process.
Yeah, that's really good advice also, because Michelle and I have mentioned many times when people are struggling and email us about hiring their vendor team, where to start. We've had some bad experiences, but we ended up hiring a great photographer. So our mm-hmm. advice is, ask that photographer. If
Absolutely.
You hired somebody that you love and you trust and you clicked with, ask them who their favorite DJ is. Ask them who their favorite rental yep. company is. Sometimes it will surprise you the connections that vendors make. You think a rental company and a DJ, or a rental company and a photographer, or a linen specialty company and an efficient, people that you think maybe don't have anything to do with each other. The chances are, if the person is a professional that's been working in that region for a while in this industry, you know, several right. years for one company or another, they will have vendor referrals for you. And I can yep. tell you that I never get a kickback for anybody I refer, yeah. and neither do they when they refer me. It's just, usually we want to work with each other because we know it's a good working environment. I know if I hire you for rentals that your truck is going to show up on time. So that's great. That's peace of mind for everyone. But it's beyond that. It's that I know my clients will be as happy with you as I want them to be with me. Yep. And that goes for all of your vendors. I love it when I work with a couple, because I'm often month of, so I'm not involved in all the choices that they're making for their vendors. But I love it when I work with a couple who hires a really great vendor first off, at the top. Maybe it's their caterer, and that caterer is able to just spill her favorites, maybe. And then they can kind of pick and choose, but at least it's sifted through for you. You know, word of mouth from other people that have gotten married, and your friends who are dealing with wedding planning also, but also word of mouth and personal referrals, business to business, it's invaluable. So Absolutely. That's very good advice. And I think I'm happy to hear that you wouldn't feel like, oh, these people are calling me, they want my price list, then they ask for my favorite planner, and then I never hear from them again. What am I doing? I'm spinning my wheels. Like, I'm happy to hear that it's not that way.
Yeah, no, we never look at it that way. And we're the same way. We don't do kickbacks. I mean, if a florist calls and says, thank you because so-and-so just booked with us, fantastic. Absolutely. We want all of our vendors to grow and, you know, have amazing clients and know that our clients, you know, are happy with their vendors. And listen, down the road, you might just call us for Thanksgiving or for, you know, your kids' first birthdays. I mean, that's how truly we look at it. It's just this planting the seed of a relationship for a long time to come.
Yeah. So moving to the final subtopic that we threw about when we talked, and this is the word trends. Every time I type it on our outlines, I think like, that's, I just don't love that word. And it's because I've been doing wedding planning long enough to have worked with all aesthetics, or at least a great spectrum of aesthetics, and also budgets. So when I hear trends, I think about like moss runners or something that was like hot for a second and made me just like, I just was like, moss, or, you know, like we make fun of burlap in behind the scenes, or, and that's only because we just used so much burlap 4 years ago that we thought we were drowning in it, or mason jars or rose gold, which I love. I have in my own home. I wear my own wedding ring as rose gold, but for a year, every wedding that I went to, it was all about rose gold and blush. So these are the trends that have kind of stereotypical connotations, but beyond, so when I say that, like, tell us about the trends for 2020. What I'm trying to pitch is, what are you seeing that's like evolved a little bit from last year or the year before, that clients are like kind of turning things on their head a little bit, or like taking a tradition or a traditional look and like tweaking it, just flipping it a little bit, like more playful or more cheeky or more colorful? You know, you're there in the showroom with them. People get excited about certain things. What's kind of, what's popping over there?
So velvets are huge right now, all different types of velvets, but it's fun because it's not only the whites and ivories for weddings. I mean, people are really getting creative by bringing in a magenta velvet into their cocktail hour, the, you know, the cake table, and teal velvet. And we're in South Florida, so bright and colorful, you know, linens never scare anyone, but really tropical. Across the United States, we're really seeing a ton of velvets. If you're somewhere up north, maybe you're doing more of like the subdued, the citrons, and, you know, the neutral colors, but velvets are huge.
I will say about velvets though, and I love them. Mm-hmm. I love to work with them. I love a cocktail hour that has the velvet down to the floor. People touch it, and they put their hands there. You can tell like fingers have been like rubbed through it, and they put their glass on the table and it's like, oh, this is velvet. I love it. It does pack a punch, I think, aesthetically on your wedding day. If you've spent a little extra money because you wanted some velvet linens, I think it's bang for your buck. People notice it. It's luxe. It's tangible. Like, it's kind of a little bit over the top, but it doesn't photograph as well as it looks on the day. And I think people are almost bummed about that sometimes when they see their photos and they know how much money they spent on those velvet linens, and it doesn't translate into photos. So just keep that in mind. On the day of, totally noticeable and worth it, but photos don't do velvet justice, I feel like.
And I think that's why it's funny. I think that's why for weddings, we're almost seeing more of the colorful velvet go out than the muted colors, for exactly that reason. Because it's like in person, it's ooh and on. Really, in a picture, it just looks like a flat white or cream linen. But yes, it kind of reminds me of a few years ago when sequins were the hottest thing, and everyone would just come up to the table and feel the sequins and rub them back and forth. So now they're kind of doing that to the plush of velvet. The other hot thing we're seeing, which I love for weddings, is this floral trend. I just love that it's so universal, from a subtle white on white floral to this burst of color with black backgrounds or white backgrounds with greens and pinks and blues. And really, I mean, you could do so much with it. You could make your tabletop subtle. You could bring in beautiful color goblets. But this floral trend is probably one of my favorite trends. The prints, and just, I think the nice part about weddings nowadays is kind of like anything goes, right? I'm sure you're seeing that the couples are getting a little bit more adventurous. It's, you know, no longer, oh, we just need all white. We don't need all ivory. People will do an all ivory and all white, but bring in a pop of blush goblet. And it's really nice to see people getting adventurous. Another big tabletop trend we're seeing is color to the tables. I have never sold so many colored goblets than I have this year. Use the hotel's wine glass, but bring in that turquoise, blush, smoke color, water goblet, or wine, or signature flute. It adds so much to the table. And even when you're going into the rental company, it might get lost when you see one, but remember, your table is going to have anywhere from 10 to 12 of them. Then you multiply that amount in your room. So little things like that are really inexpensive ways to go a long way of changing the room. And going back to velvet quickly, even just a velvet napkin, I love and is very chic and high end. So even if you're using a venue's linen or you're bringing in a floral, a velvet linen, you know, wrapped with floral or wrapped in your napkin is just a beautiful look. And metallics, mixed metallics, you know, the pewters, the even though we're all kind of over the rose gold, some of these new linens that are a little bit more modern and sleek with some of the coppers and the silvers, they're chic, they're high end. They could go from day to night. You could dress it up modern. You could make it go traditional. So those are probably some of the three top trends that we're seeing. People are definitely getting a little bit more creative on their furniture, changing up the different types of chairs they're using, no longer using just one style. We love the look of long tables, even though that's not something new. I think more and more rental companies are bringing in floor-length custom linens for those tables. So make sure your local rental company has the appropriate size linens for each table. But mix up your tables. Bring in squares and rounds and royal tables and mirror tables. Don't be scared. It really adds a lot of interest to the room.
Yeah. I think, too, for people that see a long, like, king's table, let's say, or they see an entire reception with all those farm tables, exposed wood, long, 40 people eating, you know, on either side of a big table, sometimes that's not possible cost-wise or in the dimensions of the room for every guest to have that. And maybe your venue is a barn that comes with 10 60-inch round tables and 100 shibaris. That's what it comes with. You can pull in rentals to have your farm table that maybe seats 20. And if it is a pivotal part of the room, which it would be if it was your head table, then it will get photographed more. And you're putting the money where the photos are going to, you know, then on that table, you can go extra special with some of the rentals for that table, but not for all the tables. That's okay. You're still getting the look and you're changing it up from what it would be if it was just 10 round tables in a room. And I think sometimes people feel like they have to go full, you know, full idea or else not at all. And that's not always the case. A lot of times you can mix and match, not just with colors and patterns, you know, which we love to do, but also with the layout of the room and the size of the tables. Because very few venues are going to offer exposed wood farm tables. And the reason for that is largely logistic. They don't fold up and they're really hard to store and they're very heavy. So renting them is often what people do. And I think with anything, you can kind of pick and choose where you want key areas to be, the cake table, the welcome table, the head table, maybe some cocktail tables, and you don't have to spend the same amount of money on every single table, on every single place setting.
Yeah, I mean, there are endless ways to spend money, from going all out to just a linen, to even using a basic white poly linen and an amazing floral print or a colorful velvet. I mean, we are here to educate you and tell you, okay, you have X amount of dollars. Here's how I would spend it to give you your vision. So don't think because you're walking into a rental company that right away you're spending thousands of dollars. If you only are looking to spend X amount of money, you relay that to your event rental specialist, and it's our job to take your money and spend it wisely. Mm. Whether that's convincing you just to bring in a charger, just to change out maybe the cushion on the shibari chair, right? How many times do we go into a venue and maybe they have beautiful linens and they have a great gold shivari chair, but you would just love a little pop of a color. Mm. Change out the cushion. They're not going to tell you that, but we'll tell you that. We have cushions that have prints on them. Let me tell you what a printed cushion on a shivari chair does. Changes the entire look of a venue or a room or a table setting. So really, the ways to spend your money are so endless. Don't automatically think that you have to go in and get the linen, the flower, the glassware, the charger, because that's not the case. There are so many different ways. And maybe one table you do the rustic charger, and maybe on the other tables you just bring in a goblet. So don't be scared to get creative, add interest to your table. Again, that's kind of what we're here for, is to really give you that unique look without feeling like, you know, you're breaking the bank and it's just another thing to spend money on. We want you to get excited over rentals and know that it's really, think about when people first come into your venue, aesthetically with their eyes, it's what gives them the feel of you as a couple and what the feel of your room and the night is going to be like. It's such a huge, huge, huge important factor of the wedding that so many people don't think about.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The printed or any kind of shivari, different color chair pad is definitely not something that might be on your radar until somebody says, have you thought about a printed? That might work perfectly for what you were talking about. And then, yeah, you've just said, yeah, give me that. I'll sign on the dotted line. We're going to spend $1,000 on these chair cushions.
Yeah.
But because we have those chair cushions, I don't feel like we have to spend money on the linens now. And really, I think those chair cushions will tie in the wallpaper. So I don't think we need to spend money on uplights, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
When you say there's endless ways to spend money, what you're really saying is there's endless ways to plug in what money you have.
Yep.
And that's why we as planners, and Michelle and I on the podcast, always encourage everybody to be really upfront with the vendors when you call them. If you only have $3,000 that you want to commit to florals and decor, tell the florist that in the first correspondence with them. It is not rude. It is not like uncouth to talk about money with vendors, because people say to me, I'll get emails that say like, I really want to hire you as my planner, but I don't want to waste your time or be insulting, but I literally only have X amount of money. Is there anything that you could do within that? Or do you have advice for who might be able to? And it's nice. It's refreshing. I'm able to respond like, actually, I just had a client change their wedding date. So now I have that date open. Right. I'm actually able to bring my price down for reasons that you don't even need to know about. So you have to be transparent. The only catch to that is what Heather and I talked about at the beginning of this, which is when you don't know what you want. So you don't know what your budget is. And the advice for that was just call, get a price sheet of kind of everything you might need, so that when you're having the discussion with your partner or your parents or your banker about how much you're going to spend on the wedding, you can say, I was really hoping that we could get tables, chairs, and linens, but now I see this price list. We're probably not going to be able to get all three of those. Let's dedicate a little bit of money so we can get two out of three, and I'll call Heather back and see what the options are.
Yeah, and exactly that, communicating, you know, exactly like you said, things pop up. You might have a bride that cancels or a couple that cancels. Well, it's the same thing with us. Maybe you're having an event off season, right? And our product is just sitting there. Maybe you're giving us a large deposit off season and we could...
Doesn't hurt to ask.
I always say you don't know unless you ask. So tell us your budget. And we know there could be wiggle room. We're not holding you to it. But the last thing I want to do is a couple comes in and, you know, they're picking out the most expensive stuff and they get it and they go with someone else. And when we follow up, they're like, oh, well, your prices were too high. So did I not, you know, ask the right question of saying, really, what do you want to spend? What is the look you're going for? Was there not that open conversation? Because there's so many other choices and I want to be able to give you those choices that fit in your budget. So yes, giving a window, just being honest, saying, I don't know yet, where can I start? There are so many different ways, but they're truly your rental company should work in every single budget.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you if you had any, like, overreaching or kind of umbrella advice to finish it out? Some final thoughts?
So I think just my final thoughts are, let your rental company be your best friend. It's kind of the unknown and the behind the scenes, because there are so many amazing rental companies out there, especially in, you know, the 15 years I've been doing this. It's amazing how it started where there was 3 or 4 rental companies in area, and now there could be up to 15 and 20. And we are unique because we're a one-stop shop, but there's a lot of rental companies that just do vintage furniture, just do chairs, just do a dance floor. So know that your options, they're out there. Find a rental company that you really mesh with. Don't be scared to interview us. You know, I always joke, I have friends, whether it's up north or Texas or anywhere else along the way, that, you know, I've met people, utilize me, FaceTime me from the showroom. I'll be more than happy to give advice or jump on the website and help you choose rentals, but really utilize your trusted partners to get the biggest bang for your buck, because there's so many things out there that you just don't know that you have your hands, that you could get your hands on. And that's what the most exciting part is all of the amazing products that are available. Go out and go get them. And if you love it, use it and find out how you could get it, and just have that open communication with your rental company.
Okay, so very good. No, there are no stupid questions.
Nope, no stupid questions. There's ask no away.
Why you can't just call and ask, and then when you have somebody's name and their email, the door has been opened for communicating with them. So I think that is very helpful, all of this. Sometimes as a planner, even I get a little bit overwhelmed with rentals when it is a full build out. And I know that the catering company is going to be prepping food and cooking in a place they don't usually, like a barn or somebody's garage. And I get a little bit like, oh, this is a lot. So in those cases, the rental contact I have is like my best friend, because that's who I call, like you said, every time there's a change, every time there's any new information, I have to call and run it by the rentals so that we don't end up with something on the wedding day that we don't need or too much of anything. So I think,
yeah, and just remember, like, the last thing too is we know our product, right? So just like when you go to a florist, I mean, they're spitting out types of flowers that you should use, and so don't be scared that you're stepping on their toes because you're going to get your linens direct. Because I always try to tell people, I know my product best. Maybe there's something that is on a truck that's going to be delivered in 2 days that I know is perfect for your wedding. No one else knows that but me. So just remember that we're the experts at what we do. The other vendors are the experts at what they do. And you always want to go to the expert, right? So go to the source. Don't be scared of using the source. And it's okay that you're not paying me for rentals. If you still want me to come on that site visit with your decor company, I'd be more than happy to do so, because I might see something from a design aesthetic that maybe the caterer doesn't see. Or maybe I hear that you're serving risotto and there's a brand new bowl coming that would be perfect for your wedding that they had no idea about. So just remember, we are the experts in what we do. So utilize our knowledge just like you would utilize any other vendor's knowledge.
Yes, it's really amazing cohesiveness in wedding planning if you trust your planner, vendors, all of them. And that doesn't always happen. And we get a lot of emails from listeners. So if you're one of those listeners that has written us about like a vendor ghosting you, or they don't seem to get your vision, or they've asked you the same question 5 times and you're wondering if they're listening to you, like, that sucks. We get it. That's not a good position to be in. And the wedding industrial complex is like out of control, especially in some parts of our country. But in most parts, it's every vendor's just trying to do an honest, like, I'm trying to do the best that I can. So creating a good vendor team is key. So I think if any of you listening are struggling with some decisions, communicate more. And if that doesn't seem to get you feeling more confident about things, then it might be time to switch things up or make a change or email us and see what we think. And then if there's any emails that we get, Heather, that are specifically rental related, I would love to pass them on to you.
Absolutely.
So that you can give us your professional expert advice on that, and then we can pass it on to our listeners.
Of course.
Okay, cool. So that works then. I'm going to do our outro so you know how to reach us. But Heather, thank you so much for being on the podcast and telling us all about rentals. This has been on the list for a long time. So now we need to do a transportation episode, which I think Michelle is on that. But these are listener requests. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. If you are subscribing to us on iTunes, it is so helpful if you rate and review. It lets other people know about the podcast. It gets us more listeners, and then we have more reach, and then we'll be able to keep doing the podcast for longer and longer and all of that. So please do that. If you are following us on Instagram, hashtag plan that wedding, so we can see your weddings or what you're doing with wedding planning. And our Instagram is at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on Facebook. We have a community group on Facebook as well. Just look up the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And I should mention that on the website and on iTunes, we include show notes for every episode. And that's where the links to Atlas Event Rentals will be and information about Heather and Atlas. So that's on the website and in all show notes posted anywhere. If you have a question, please email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We do respond to every email. It may take a few days, maybe a week, but we will get there. We will respond. And if we get questions about rentals, we'll pass them on to Heather. And if you want to support the podcast, please do so at patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Michelle and I are both available for consulting. That is super fun. We do video calls, and remote consulting can help you with any and all of your wedding planning issues. And we are also both booking for 2020. So Michelle's business is Allure Wedding Consulting, based in San Francisco. And my business is Christy Matthews Events. And I am doing all destination weddings at this point, since I live in Phoenix, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. So that's it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.